broadcasting from my car. Welcome back to Late in Life Lesbians. A few things I wanted to mention before I get started. I'm going to do the best that I can to podcast at least twice per week, maybe more. I know in theory that sounds good, but you know how life tends to get in the way sometimes, so I will do my best. The website is up, so come on over for a visit to www.lateinlifelesbian.org, where you can listen to the podcast. You can read an occasional blog if the mood ever strikes me, or you can take a look at what's going on in LGBT news. You can follow me on Twitter at lateinlifeles, and that's with a Z at the end. Like the Facebook page, Late in Life Lesbian. I also have a voicemail box where you can leave messages, comments, or suggestions about the show at 973-348-5069. And the email address is lateinlifelesbian@gmail.com. In today's podcast, I want to address an email that I received yesterday. It was from my girlfriend. She noted that I was referring to her as my girlfriend and wanted to know why I haven't been wearing my ring. Yes, my ring. That's right, I'm married and I can't find my wedding ring. Probably can't find my wedding ring because we're in the process of moving her and her kids into my house, and I took it off to clean and now I can't find it. So I won't be vacuuming my house until I find my wedding ring. So my wife and I were married in South Africa on Thanksgiving Day. That's the U.S. Thanksgiving, not South African Thanksgiving. My wife is from South Africa. I joke about this on stage when I'm doing stand-up, that they barely have running water in South Africa, yet they recognize marriage equality, which speaks volumes for the United States, doesn't it? Anyway, here's how it came to happen. My wife, and I had been together since 2006. And we struggled a lot in the early days of our relationship, as many new relationships do, but we did struggle in the early days, which I guess by my parents' standards, we'd still be in the early stages since they've been married for 54 years. But in lesbian terms, we've been together 6 years, so I guess that's the equivalent of a quarter of a century. Anyway, after struggling and surviving, the first few years as a couple, we decided to get married one August afternoon when we were in P-Town. Now, her mom had visited from South Africa in 2007 and was really on board with our relationship. They called every weekend. I'd talk to her mom and her mom's husband. I talked to the aunts who were in South Africa, and everything seemed perfectly fine. My girlfriend had been planning a November trip to South Africa to visit and to possibly say goodbye to some older relatives who were not doing so well, and she really wanted me to join her for the trip. Now, contrary to popular belief, we're not from money, nor do we have a lot of money. So a trip to South Africa is about $2,000 at least just for one person. And I knew she'd be footing the bill for both of us if I joined her, so I said no at first. But while we were in P-Town, she asked me again to go along with her. So after further consideration, I suggested that since marriage equality isn't recognized in the great state of New Jersey, and at the time it wasn't recognized in New York yet either, that we could go to South Africa and get married with her family, who accepted our relationship, and we would get married in New Jersey once our relationship was officially recognized. So she was thrilled that I said yes, that we would go and do this. Now, we had some legal loopholes, we still do, in the United States due to our divorces and her alimony, so we figured we'd wait to do it here until everything was settled. We didn't even tell the kids. We haven't told the kids of our actual marriage because we don't want to put them in a position to have to keep secrets from their father. So she immediately called her friend in South Africa, who's a judge, and asked that if she would be available on the dates that we were going to be there to officiate. And her friend was actually overjoyed and looked at her schedule and was able to perform the ceremony. So she hung up with her friend and immediately booked me on a flight to South Africa. So our plans were she was going to go a week before me and visit with her friends and family and everybody, and that I would meet her the second week of her trip for a week. So as soon as she booked the flight, she finished that and immediately and eagerly called her mother to share the news. And she also mentioned to her mom when she called that we weren't going to be sharing the information with the kids because of the legalities. That's kind of when our world came tumbling down. Her mother was not happy. She was horrified. And she said, I thought you and Sammy were just friends. You know, I didn't know that this was your situation and your relationship. What am I going to tell the family? What am I going to tell my friends? Now, I have to backtrack by saying that my girlfriend came out to her mother in 2007 about our relationship. And I've had several face-to-face conversations while they were visiting the States, as well as countless phone conversations with her mother and her stepfather on the phone over the years. And they always accepted me and had told me on more than one occasion that they were happy to have me as part of their family. On Christmases, they would send Christmas cards to me, to my parents, birthday cards, the whole nine yards. They, you know, called my house when my brother passed away. They called my parents. You know, everything seemed fine. So to say that they had no idea what the nature of our relationship was is just simply not true. My girlfriend hung up the phone and was devastated. And I tried to tell her that her mother was just overreacting, and once she spoke to her husband, things would be okay. And sure enough, a few hours later, we received a phone call from South Africa, and everything seemed to be fine. We spoke with her mother's husband, we spoke with her mother, and it seemed to be just fine. Not so much, though. The phone calls between my girlfriend and her mother during the months leading up to the trip were strained and uncomfortable and awkward. At one point, her mother said, "Well, I've arranged for this lunch thing that you wanted and that you're doing, so now you have what you want." At that point, neither of us even wanted to go. It was supposed to be a trip where we would celebrate our love and our life together, and it had just turned into this nightmare. So we actually decided to go ahead with our plans, only we canceled them with her mother and decided to get married with her friends instead. So she called her mother a month before the trip and told her that we had changed our minds, that we were not going through with this, and her mother actually seemed relieved. So the trip came, and it absolutely was strained to be in an environment where somebody's clearly not wanted. What was once supposed to be a pleasant and enjoyable relationship with my future in-laws was now just a source of constant pain. I can't even imagine what my girlfriend felt. So I met the entire family at a family braai, which is a barbecue in South Africa. And they held this for me on the day that I landed in South Africa after a 17-hour flight. And when I got there, they looked at me like I was a monster. They huddled in corners and off to the side. They gave me curious looks like I was some deviant from America. So I did what any great American would do, and I got drunk. Oh, the icing on the cake was when my girlfriend's stepfather asked me to stand up in front of everyone less than a half an hour after I had arrived and to give a speech about what it was like for me in South Africa. Fortunately, I had had two cocktails already, so I mentioned that despite being lost in an airport for over an hour at Johannesburg, that it was a lovely airport, very modern parking garage, and I was thrilled to have the opportunity to spend some time in such a beautiful country where every house is surrounded by high fences and barbed wires, or beggars on every corner and wild animals walking in the streets. It's wonderful. But I survived lunch, and I didn't really say all that. I just said thank you, and it was an honor to be there. I think I did mention the airport and the parking lot, though. So I survived lunch, and we did a lot throughout the week, and her parents treated me as politely and courteously as they would a stranger. While we were in South Africa, I got to see Soweto. I saw Nelson Mandela's home. I saw Winnie Mandela's house, and her parents took us to Pilanesberg Game Reserve for 3 days, and we were chased by a rogue elephant. That was a lot of fun. And on the Thursday of our trip, our Thanksgiving in the United States, we spent the day with her friends for our wedding. And the day was perfect. The weather was perfect for our garden poolside wedding. I couldn't believe at that moment that the life that I had always dreamed of, but I knew in my heart would never come true, was actually happening. To say that it was surreal is an understatement. So when you grow up in a life where you're conditioned to believe that true happiness can never be, to actually defy your lifetime of beliefs and take a step toward ultimate happiness is beyond description. We were married in a beautiful garden, poolside, in front of amazingly beautiful friends. There, among heterosexual couples, there were two lesbian couples there that joined us for the ceremony. And after the ceremony, we went out and had a beautiful dinner and celebratory wedding and Thanksgiving drinks at a bar. I have to say, the sun was shining brilliantly on that day. And I hate to be sappy, but it's been shining every day since then in this capacity of my life. Now, my wife's relationship with her mother went downhill after that. Her mother went so far as to say over the phone that I was a rude bitch while I was staying in their home during my visit. Now, anybody that knows me can attest to the fact that I would never be rude. I tend to be very shy and almost overly polite when I'm in a new place or visiting someone's home, almost to a fault. It's the way my parents raised me to be a gracious, unobtrusive guest in somebody else's home. But through the last few years, their conversations every other weekend were basically two-word conversations, and then they'd hang up. It was horrible. This went on for about 2 years. About 2 months ago, my wife was having a conversation with her mother one morning and put the phone on speaker so that I could hear her mother's tone when they spoke. And during the conversation, I started writing notes to my girlfriend on a piece of paper, telling her to just say how she felt, and maybe she wanted to make amends or clear the air. And they ended up having a huge fight on the phone, yet in some respects, they broke through some of the barriers. Her mother insisted that the whole reason for her discomfort was not our relationship, but the fact that we lied to the children. That is just not true. My wife had explained on several occasions that we didn't tell them because of the legal issues. And my wife explained that my parents, even though we didn't tell them about the wedding for the same legal reasons, are totally on board with our relationship. And as a matter of fact, they supported us moving in together, and so did the kids. I ended up calling her mother after she left for work, after my wife left for work, and I spoke with her, and I apologized for her misunderstanding my behavior while I was there, and I explained that I was just terrified. And I said that if, you know, my quiet demeanor was misconstrued as being aloof or rude, that I was terribly, terribly sorry. And my apology was accepted. All's well that ends well. If only, right? Unfortunately, I think the damage was done. I don't think my wife's wounds will ever heal. Her mother's reaction was not about the kids. Her mother's reaction was all about accepting us as a couple, as long as we were a few continents away. But not in her backyard. Not in front of her friends or her family. Sadly, this is partially my case, too. My wife is my friend who's moving in with me due to the fact that we're experiencing financial difficulties. Well, my parents know the nature of our relationship, and so does my sister and several members of the family and friends who I decided to disclose information to about my personal life. But in the vast scheme of things, people generally can't handle the fact that two people of the same gender love one another, that they can successfully raise children, that they can contribute to society, and that they can be happily married. They can't handle it. And that's not okay. My wife never beat me. My wife never made me feel inadequate. My wife never verbally abused me or my children or her children. Yet in the eyes of society, the church and the world, it seems more acceptable to stay with a man who does all these things than to share a loving life with a woman. And some can also argue that there are plenty of men who are loving and would never do those things. And to that I say, yes, there are. My father, my uncles, my brother, my brother-in-law, my grandfathers, my friends' husbands, and my male friends. But I don't have to look anymore for the perfect man, because I found the perfect wife and her beautiful kids to love and honor and to cherish for the rest of my life. Thanks so much for listening. This is Sammy Nisbet with Late in Life Lesbians. Please visit the website, www.lateinlifelesbian.org, and give us a call, 973-348-5069. Let me know what you think. Give me your comments, thoughts, feelings. Email us at lateinlifelesbian@gmail.com. What do you think? Let me know. Till next time, have a great Labor Day weekend, and I'll see you next week on Late in Life Lesbian.